We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. And if you've been listening all week, it's at O'Brien and Levine Court Reporting. So it's all about the best lawyers, litigators of Boston all week long. Flanked to my left is Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi, Mark.
Jeff, great to be with you.
Right. You know, we had not too much arm twisting, getting Matt Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. And for people thinking, Matt Furman, Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, that's because Mark Furman is our litigation and reporter for the show. But stepping in, and you're going to talk to us today about millennials in the law, right?
I am, and thanks to both of you for having me here today.
It's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure.
You're part of our star-studded lineup.
Well, I'm a good pinch hitter when need be, I guess. So, I thought, Jeffrey, it was a great idea to sort of talk about millennials in the law and generational differences in particular, because we all work with people of different generations. We all are, in the case of litigation, adverse to people at different generations, and communication, whether you're on the same side or different sides, is of utmost importance. People are working longer than ever now, unfortunately, into their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And there's a whole new generation of people born in the 1980s and the 1990s that are entering the business. These are people that grew up playing video games, with access to the internet, with phones in their pockets, laugh at grandma's landline that she still talks on. And, it changes how communication works, even compared to folks born in the 60s and 70s. So it's an interesting thing to think about and spend some time on.
You know, you talk about, Matt, the millennials and just where things are in terms of how lawyers have progressed. You actually brought in a graph, which I thought was really, really interesting, how you break it down. Do you want to talk to our listeners about it? Because you're really, addressing a subject that I just think is, I vent to Jeff so many times how millennials being in the staffing business drive me crazy. Even in my own office, I have millennials, and I'm looking for them to do some things, and they're already going at the end of the day.
Well, let me first start by saying this is a great chart, but I got to give credit to the Denver Bar Association, which is where I found it online. But I do think it's interesting to look at, and it sort of takes different aspects of the workplace and looks at the millennials, the Gen Xers, the baby boomers, and what they call the traditionalists. And I gather that's a little closer to sort of Tom Brokaw's Greatest Generation, or people that act like they're part of it, even if they're not. So I think in response to people being gone, like you spoke to, Mark, I think there is a view among millennials that your work can be done from different places, not necessarily in the office. I know we all are very comfortable communicating from our phone, whether it's through text message or something else. And I
am now.
That's right.
Right.
And, I think people have an interest in being able to work from outside their office, work at hours that are best for their lives and their circumstances. It doesn't make millennials bad people. They might just have a different expectation of how to handle the juggle that is life. And I think it's important to, understand where those folks are coming from and understand where the other side of it's coming from. And dialogue is the most important thing you can have.
No, I mean, absolutely. Jeff, who's known me at different cycles of my life, when I go back 20 years ago, when I was waiting for calls in my business, and I had to stay at the office, and I couldn't leave the office because we didn't have internet, we didn't have email, we didn't have cell phone, and it has changed. But on the other hand, it's enabled me now to have a cell phone and have a handheld, that smartphone, that now I can go on trips. Now, on the other hand, when I go on vacation, it's always a working vacation because always. I have to check. Right. It's always that. It's always for him too. But at least we can go. You know, so I look at it as I couldn't go before. Like my wife, you know, would always say, can't we go do this or can't we go do that? I'm saying I really can only go during this time.
It really was a brick and mortar world. Right. You went into the box every day and sat at your desk. But it's not anymore.
Right.
It's an intellectually driven world, and you don't have to be inside the box to be consuming or providing intellectual content.
Right.
Well, I like to think about sort of, you know, everybody runs into sort of a burnout factor when they've been really busy from work and they've been away from their home for a long time and things have really been a grind. There's a way to sort of counteract that by mixing it up, you know, being at your kitchen table at a certain time, logged in on your laptop, working on that same stuff, undisturbed, phone not ringing, people not jumping into your office.
Right.
And you can actually get stuff done, focus on your project. And it's a great help in technology to sort of be able to do your work from anywhere. And I think that is a benefit. And it can help recharge the batteries. So
I think you're right. You know, when I first went into business, one of my original partners said to me, the problem with you, Jeff, is you're a sprinter and you're going to have to learn to be a marathon runner. And I think, you know, he was right. I didn't understand it. And I think that's what you're saying, too. It's, you know, work is different. There are no boundaries now. Mark says you're on vacation, you're working. It's late night. I mean, who was texting me last night at 10 o'clock? My wife asked me. I said, Mark Z. She went, I thought it was. So that's why I didn't respond. But it's funny but you have to learn how to work more and smarter. And it is more of a marathon. And you need to learn how to balance. And it's true. If you can leave the office and do it at the kitchen table, it feels more normal. It feels like you have control over it.
That's exactly right. Now, I would just say, in terms of your story about your mentor, I find it hard to believe there was ever a generation entering the workplace where the prior generations didn't say to him, you're going too fast, you don't get it, that's
yeah.
not how we do things here. But I, you know, I think this chart is sort of an example of why it's just sort of people's life experience and how it's different for them.
Well, you know what's interesting about your chart? For those, if we can, we'll post it. You have atop the horizontal, you have traditionalists, baby boomers, Generation X, and millennials. And across the next part, I think there's 9 criteria: work ethic, value in workplace, views on authority, views on leadership, feedback, time at work is defined as communication, preferred learning method, and motivated by. None of them are consistent in all 4 boxes.
They have very little in common.
Yeah,
right.
They're just
funny.
Yeah, I mean, and you could break this up, you know, socioeconomic and ethnic, and you could go religious too. But it's funny, not one of them is the same in all 4 boxes.
Well, just take a look at time at work is defined as, just because we were talking about
right.
this just now, for the traditionalists, which I'm thinking of as your Tom
My dad.
Brokaw, greatest
right.
generation. It's punch the clock.
Right.
Get in, do your thing. You've done your duty for the day to take care of your family, go home.
Well, when
right.
we started work, Mark and I, it was be hard worker, get to the work by 8:30 and leave by 5:30. Now I hear that and I laugh.
Right.
Right. Right.
So baby boomers, they say work is defined as visibility. You got to show up to be seen. That's in direct contrast with the idea of working
right.
at home in your kitchen table.
Right.
So you see how a baby boomer might look at a millennial that's as not being visible in the office. Then you have Gen Xers. Why does it matter if I get it done at 2 a.m.?
Right.
You know, there's sort of an individualistic streak within the Gen Xers. They're sort of the first generation where...
I guess I'm a Gen X.
Okay. Where both mom and dad were out working and they were sort of being more individualized in everything they did. And the millennials, it has, and I'll take minor issue with this, but it says, is it 5 p.m.? I have a life. So
you know what's funny? I mean, I'm not trying to be a narcissist, but as I look through this, I have a lot, maybe it's because I progress, but I have a lot of Generation X characteristics, and I'm clearly not a Generation X.
You have a youthful appearance, Jeffrey.
Right. No, you do, Jeff.
But you do too, Mark. I mean, you've adapted. You said it at the beginning. You've adapted your work style for the way the world has been changing.
Well, you have to. or you're going to be left behind. I mean, it's changing very quickly because a lot of the, even the traditional employers, in order to be competitive, have adopted different means. I mean, like, for example, classic example, you talk about communication. So telephone, email, tech, and then millennials texting, social networking. So, for example, if I'm working with an attorney, whether it's to find people for that firm or working to place that attorney, okay? So in the old days, I would maybe have a phone call. I'd meet them face-to-face, then I'd have a phone call, okay, which is what your baby boomer is, okay? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, attorneys don't have the time. They're on the phone. They're doing everything. So email is the best way to reach them, right? But if I, in my business, I need to reach them a lot of times right away. They need something done. So they may not look at their email right away. They may have they may be not at their desk or whatever, and they might not be looking at their email. But on the other hand, if I need to reach them, and they're not picking up the phone, you call, they're not picking up the phone. But if I text them, I'll get messages right back. And you're talking about attorneys that are anywhere from their mid-60s to, you know, early 30s.
Now, so, I'm only saying this out of respect, but I'm going to turn this around and ask you a question about something.
Sure.
I'm thinking about your dad, who's quite an accomplished litigator, keeps a little black book in his pocket still, like it's 1981.
Oh, his Elder Calendar, as he calls it.
Yeah, right. Elder Calendar. So he sort of walks in two squares, traditionalist and baby boomer. He's like a traditionalist baby boomer. And you're more the Generation X millennial. Tell me something. You work together on cases with your dad. Is he trying to pull you over to his side? Are you trying to pull him over to your side? Has it been a give and take? Have you taught each other?
I think we've taught each other. I think we do have a great team there that includes Gen Xers as well and some traditionalists. And I think all these groups, although they communicate differently, you know, everybody sort of has their own way of sort of focusing on the client's interests. And I think the different perspectives you get from different generations makes it helpful in that regard. He definitely pulls me. I definitely pull him. Other people pull both of us.
Yeah, we'll leave your mother out of this.
Well, let me just ask something, Matt. When you're working with certain clients, do you adapt your style to those clients? So, for example, if you're working with an older client, is there a different means of communication than with a younger client?
If you're not, you're failing. You have to be
right.
You have to be exactly what your client needs you to be.
Right.
And some, you know, we have some clients that want to do only email. We have some that prefer text message. Not as many as the other ones, and we have some that want a phone call, and some that get real into the nitty-gritty of the details of the problem, and some that just want to hear from us. So you have to be exactly what they want you to be. Otherwise, you're not doing your job.
Mark, right. I think what Matt's brought up today is an important topic that we haven't had this week, and that is this whole idea of millennials, because they are now the bulk of our population. They're becoming a dominant force. And since the baby boomers, we haven't seen another dominant force other than the baby boomers, and things have changed. And technology and the population is making things different. So we appreciate what you're talking about, Matt. If somebody were wanting to talk to you about how to deal with these different groups and how to help these different groups, how would they find you?
Well, they could find me online, certainly, at tbhr-law.com, the firm directory there. We're at 101 Huntington Street in Boston. Feel free to come in and say hi.
What's your best phone number to reach you?
617-218-2076.
Matt, what's your email in case people want to reach you by email Matthew, directly?
Matthew, with two T's, .Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
Great.
Excellent.
Matt, thanks for being on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks
for having me.
Great. Pleasure. Millennial.